Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come here, Lord, and worship you on this beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we'll be glad and rejoice in it. Lord, I thank you for everyone here who's come to hear what you have to show us today. We are blessed to be in your presence because we know where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are here with us. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We lift up your holy name and we give you thanks and we pray all things in Jesus' name. I had kind of a tough week here towards the end. I was telling the Sunday school that I was praying about, Lord, what? You know, help me. What are we going to preach on this week? What would you have me tell the people? And he was showing me things all week, but I wasn't making any connection. And Saturday we had a 90th birthday party for my aunt. And I said to Flo, this is Saturday. I still don't have nothing. And all of a sudden I was like, boom. Lord, what are you talking about? I've been showing it all week. So I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But it was in connection with what we were studying in Sunday school. So this is kind of like an extension to that, something different that the Lord was showing me. And I labeled this believing in the promises of God. So I hope this will be a blessing to you. So throughout recorded history, God has intervened in the affairs of men to bring about his will and accomplish his purpose for mankind. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that we can look back and we can see that were fulfilled if you know the Word of God, if you know your scripture and what it says. So time and time again, he's used both good and evil people, as well as good and evil nations to bring about his desired goal. Now, scripture says not even a sparrow falls from the sky without God knowing about that. And when we look back in history, we can say, oh, there has been some terrible things that happened. You know, there was the Holocaust and, you know, 6 million Jews were killed and exterminated. But scripture says that all things, even the bad things, work together for good for those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. God had a plan for Israel. And it wasn't that the Jewish people would leave Israel and never come back, where we had Palestine for about 1900 years. So what happened after the Holocaust was that many Jews came back to Israel. And God said he would return them to the land he gave their forefathers, and he would gather them from the four winds of the earth, and he most certainly did. And he brought them back. And then in Proverbs it says, can a nation be born in a day? In one day after the Balfour Declaration, in one day the United Nations voted for Israel to be a nation. And on May 17th, 1948, that happened and they returned to the land. So he even used, there you had Hitler, who wanted to destroy God's people and kill all of them. He was the catalyst that brought them back to the land, and God used his wickedness, even that, to fulfill his purpose. So both good and evil people and good and evil nations God will use to fulfill his promises. Now, from beginning to end, God has been in complete and total control. And there is nothing that catches him by surprise or any event that can subvert his will. So I am surprised sometimes when I hear pastors say that God is not in control. If God was in control, we wouldn't have murder and we wouldn't have pedophilia and we wouldn't have drug addictions and cartels and mafias and all them kind of things. So for that reason, they say that God is not in control. But God has allowed people to follow their own desires. He doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to come to him because we love him and we know who he is, and he speaks true. And we can see all these prophecies coming true, and that he is going to judge the wicked scripture over and over again from Hosea to other prophets, Zechariah, they call this the day of the Lord. So the day is coming. So God is outside of linear space and time, and he is able to see the past, present, and future all at once. In other words, he knew that Israel was going to leave the land, even though he gave it to Abraham. And he knew what Hitler was going to do, but he also knew that all things work together for good, and he was going to use that to bring his people back to the land. The land of Israel and the Jewish people are inseparable. And so when you have certain presidents that say, well, you know, the land's not that important. Let's just divide it up. We'll give some to the Palestinians. You know, we'll give some to the Jews. President Obama wanted to go back to pre-1967 levels, which would have left Israel completely defenseless. But they're not seeing what that land is. So of all the land in the world, the hundreds of millions of square miles of land, we're talking about one single slice of land about the size of New Jersey. And as I was telling the Sunday school today, they only occupy a slice of that. What is east, let me think, yeah, east of the Jordan River. So they didn't even take all the land all the way to the Euphrates, but they will, because scripture says God is going to bring that to completion. So God used Abraham, said he used good people and bad people. He used Abraham to establish his covenant and to direct his descendants of where to go and what to do, and to bring about the birth of the Messiah. And he was able to bring about the total fulfillment of over 300 prophecies, I think there was 318, concerning the coming of Jesus alone. And that was just the prophecies about the Messiah. And in spite of all the wars and the kingdoms and the disasters and the sin and death, now, if you look at that in a chronological order, everything had to happen exactly right for Christ to come under Roman rule, because up to that point, there were no crucifixions. Rome was the one that started the crucifixion. And we see that in the book of Isaiah, he talks about Jesus being hung on a tree before anyone was doing it. And they talk about his clothing being gambled for his one piece tunic, and that there would be a crown of thorns on his head. All these things were predicted about 800 years or so before they happened. But before that could happen, you had to have the southern kingdom of Judah being conquered by Babylon. Then Babylon had to be conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire, and then it had to be conquered by Alexander the Great. And then Rome had to take all that just so Christ could come at the right time. So to say that God didn't have his hand or that or control it is completely ridiculous. And I'm going to show you how ridiculous it is here in a minute. So he used evil empires like the Assyrians to punish the 10 northern tribes of Israel. That happened in 722 BC. They were out of God's will. You had a united kingdom under Saul and David and Solomon, and then after that the kingdom split. But all the kings, all the good kings, came from the southern kingdom, they were called Judah, and the wicked kings came from the northern kingdom, they were called Israel. So God brought the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were wicked people, brought the Assyrians against the northern tribes. And what he did was different than what he did with Judah. Because 150 years later, approximately, whenever Babylon conquered Judah, he kept them together. But when Assyria conquered the northern kingdoms, he scattered them throughout the kingdom. And that's where we get this idea of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. They're lost to us, but God knows who they are. They're not lost. And they will come back to the Lamb. So he used pagan nations to come against Israel to punish them. just to bring them back on the right path, so to speak. So he brought about the death of Herod the Great, so he was unable to kill the Christ child. If you remember when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that was a fulfillment of Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you be least among the clans of Judah, one will come out of you who will be ruler over all mankind, whose origins are eternal. We're talking about the eternal Christ being born in Bethlehem. So when the Magi came and they followed the star, it said they came not to Bethlehem, they came to Jerusalem. And they inquired where the King of the Jews would be born. And Herod's like, wait a minute, I'm the King of the Jews. So he didn't take that too well, and he tried to play the Magi because he wanted to kill the Christ so he could not ascend to the throne, so to speak. He didn't understand that it was a spiritual throne, not a physical throne. So it took about 2 years. When he realized the Magi had left, he told them to come back and report to him, and they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. And Herod calculated the time they were gone, and he had all the children, all the male children under 2 years old, killed in Bethlehem. And that's why the prophecy said a voice is crying in the wilderness, in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel, of course, is the symbolic mother. She was Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob was married, was called Israel. He was married to Rachel. So it was her children. It was the descendants of Abraham that Herod the Great went after. But God had plans for Christ, and everything had to fit into place, including the death of Herod the Great. And after Herod died, they were able to go back to Israel, and no one bothered them. So clear through to the end of time, God will continue to bring about the fulfillment of his will. He's done it all through history, and there's no reason for him to stop now. Now, we kind of have this tendency to think, you know, all them stuff, you know, that was Old Testament prophecy. There's none of that going on today. And that could not be further from the truth. So I've talked about how there were over 800 promises in the Holy Scripture. Now, some people come up with 2,200 or so, but you know, everyone agrees it's at least 800. So I haven't sat down to count them all, and I'm not going to, so we'll just say at least 800. And while we can use 2020 hindsight, and we can see many of the promises that God had foretold that have already happened come true, there are still many yet to be fulfilled. And you know, when I say 2020, you know, we can look at the hindsight, all the prophecies about Christ, how Christ predicted that the temple would be destroyed and there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. That happened in 70 AD when Titus of Rome came in and burned a temple to the ground. And then we see that all the gold in the ceiling melted down, and they dissembled the temple stone by stone to get the gold out from between the bricks, between the rocks, between the stones. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, there will come a time soon when not one stone will be left upon another. That's what he was talking about. So we can look back and say, oh yeah. But while it was happening, it's hard to see things while it's actually going on. It's easy to look backwards and say, well, yeah, Christ was crucified, that they divided up his clothes. Oh yeah, the temple was destroyed. You know, all these things would happen. God promised the northern tribes would be taken down by Assyria, and the southern tribes would be taken down by Babylon. We can look back and we can see all them things. But we have a hard time seeing what's going on today. So there are many more prophecies and promises that are more difficult to see that are happening before our very eyes. They're happening right now. A couple weeks ago, I talked about Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 and 39. Which was talking about the Armageddon coming at the end of the world and what's going to precede that, which is Psalm 83, and how all them nations we're seeing now coming against Israel exactly the way Psalm 83 said it would happen. So we get caught up in our everyday lives, the lives of our children and their children, our grandchildren, right? And so much that the things that are going on around us on the world stage are often missed. We're focused on right here in Brookville and our families, wherever they are, and we kind of miss the big picture. So in order to see the promises of God being fulfilled, we need to zoom out, not focus in on our lives and where we're at today, and look what's going on, not look what's going on in our own little world, but to see the larger picture of what is transpiring around us. Now, God's promises and prophecies are happening in an international context, and Israel is at center stage of what's happening. I'm going to show you how that is. So the prophecies and promises that God had made to Abraham nearly 3,500 years ago are continually, in other words, they're partially fulfilled, but they're continuing to be fulfilled today, being fulfilled today. Yet many Christians are unaware of them, completely unaware of what's going on around us. In Genesis 12, 1 to 3, God gave the promise of land, the land of Israel, to Abraham and his descendants. Okay? And at that time, he told them, I will make you into a great nation. That was one thing he was going to do. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Some may wonder if that still applies today. Are all them things that God said to Abraham 3,500 years ago, does that apply today? Others believe that God is completely done with the nation of Israel. We can go right down the street to a church, a friend of mine, they teach what's called replacement theology, that God's completely done with Israel and all the promises of Israel have come to us as Christians. That's not true. But there isn't anything that Israel has done or hasn't done that God didn't know about or that didn't know was going to happen. I had a conversation with someone yesterday and we were talking about it and they were saying, yeah, but you know, Israel isn't doing the right thing. And my point to him was, do you think God doesn't know what Israel has done or what they are doing? What you're failing to understand is that doesn't change any of the promises. Even when we are unfaithful, God is faithful to his promises. So, is Israel doing the right thing completely down the line? Probably not. But that doesn't change who God is. And I'm going to show you one of the things that he said. In the book of Numbers, God told Balaam to tell Balak, the king of Moab, the following. Now, if you remember the story, this is a pretty good story. I call it a narrative because I don't like the word story because I believe that it happened. And Balak, the king of Moab, calls Balaam, sends him a message, says, come here, I want you to curse Israel. And he's a prophet of God. He's not going to do it. But he goes with them anyways. And, you know, some people see God as this, you know, he's waiting for someone to step out of line. He's going to strike you with a lightning bolt kind of thing. But the humor in this is unbelievable. It's so funny. He's on his donkey, and he's going to Moab when God told him not to do it. And the donkey sees an angel standing in his path, and there's walls there. And he stops dead. And Balaam can't see it. So he's like, you dumb donkey, and he starts beating the donkey. And he goes off into the field, and he gets him back onto the path, and he beats him again. So what does God do? He opens the donkey's mouth. And he says, what are you beating me for? Haven't I been always taking you where you're supposed to go and always done what you want? And instead of I always laugh at this, instead of Balak saying, this donkey's talking to me. he's talking back to the donkey like they're having this conversation, which just cracks me up. And he says, well, yeah, you know, you've always done that. And then God opened his eyes and he saw the angel with the flaming sword. And if the donkey would have gone on, God would have destroyed him. So God still wanted them to have a message. So God finally tells Balaam, he says, you know, go ahead and go with them. But he's not going to let them, not going to let them curse him. So the king, Moab, he says, haven't I brought you here to curse Israel? And he says, I can only tell you what God has told me to tell you. I can't tell you anything else. He's God. He's going to do what he wants to do. And he says, God is not a human that he should lie. And he's not a man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Of course, they're rhetorical questions. But he spoke to Abraham. He said, I'm giving you this land. Did God lie to him? No. Did God speak and not act? No. He brought him back in 1948. Did he promise and not fulfill? No, he promised and he fulfilled. So we get an idea here of the nature and character of God, that once he proclaims that he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And he's going to speak it, and it's going to happen. Now, when you look at that, and he's talking about, does he speak and then not act? We get this idea of going back into Genesis, where God spoke and it appeared. It just happened. So something out of nothing. So it means that the promises and prophecy that God made to Abraham are not only going to happen, but they're irrevocable. He will never take it back. Am I a man that I should lie? Am I going to say something and not act on it? And he has not abandoned Israel, or should I say Abraham's descendants. When you say Israel, you might as well say Jacob, because Jacob's name is Israel and his descendants are the 12 tribes. God has not abandoned them. He hasn't changed his mind in any way. And because he has spoken, it'll come to fruition. Doesn't matter if it was 3,500 years ago. In his promise to Abraham, God had promised to curse Israel's enemies. Now, I want you to look today to the headlines. Since October 7th, almost 2 years ago, it is easy to see God fulfilling his promises to curse those that curse Israel. All you have to do is look at the world news and see what has happened to the radical Muslim nations around Israel. Israel defeated Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria. They've done devastating damage to the Houthi in Yemen. They have all but destroyed Hamas in Gaza. And they have taken out many radical Muslim leaders, Iranian military leaders, and nuclear scientists. I'd say God cursed them pretty bad, wouldn't you? Easy to see. But God also promised Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. And that through Abraham and his descendants, that others would be blessed, other than the Jews, okay? Here are some facts about what God has done since making that promise to Abraham almost 3,500 years ago. You can decide for yourself if God's promises and prophecies are still being fulfilled today. There's a song I like out today. It's called "He's a Man of His Word." And it talks about how God always does what he says. It's a great song. So China has a population of 1.4 billion people. The United States, 342 million. And Russia, 141 million. Israel has a population of 9.4 million people. That's it. Israel has 1/15 the population of the smallest of the top three countries. So of the three, the United States, China, and Russia, Russia's the smallest. They are 15 times larger than Israel. Okay? And if you look at the population, there are 97 other countries with larger populations than Israel. 97 other countries out of 199. Okay? Militarily, Israel ranks fourth in the world. Fourth in the world behind Russia, the United States, and China. I will make you into a great nation. You might say that it's because they're our ally. In other words, Israel's great because, you know, the United States is their ally. But didn't God say he would bless those that bless Israel? We are being blessed because we are Israel's ally. I'll tell you, God, wow. Good thing I'm not God. I would have punished the United States a long time ago for all the wickedness that goes on in this country. But he made a promise, and he always keeps his promise. He always does what he says. Am I a man that I should lie? We are blessed because we are Israel's closest ally. Now, of all the countries in the United Nations, Israel's actually not in the United Nations. But they're our closest ally. They're not even part of NATO. Okay? And didn't God say that he would make them into a great nation? What do you think? 98 countries ahead of them in population, 1/15 the size of Russia, and they're the fourth most powerful military nation in the world. I'd say he made them into a great nation. There are 30 other countries that belong to NATO who are also our allies, and we work in them countries and we help build them up and we give them economic aid and we do all this stuff. Yet Israel has risen above them all. Yeah, I guess they're just lucky, huh? I don't think so. So did God not return the Jews to the land of Israel he had promised? That happened in 1948. God also promised that all the people of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's descendants, all the people of the earth. We know that those who put their faith in Jesus are definitely blessed, but is that all the people of the earth? No, the Christians are just a small group of the earth. When what about those who don't believe in Jesus? God said he was going to bless all the people of the earth. So that means he's going to bless even those who don't believe because we are here and because he's put his hand on Israel. Didn't God say he would bless all people through Abraham's descendants? There are six Nobel Peace Prize categories. They're in physics and medicine and chemistry and literature and economics and humanitarian effort. Israelis have been awarded 13 Nobel Peace Prizes since 1966. Israel has more Nobel Peace Prizes per capita than Germany, the United States, and France. It has more laureates who've received the Nobel Peace Prize than India, China, and Spain. Yet these countries are as much as 15 and 100 times bigger than Israel. They have more people, they have more colleges, they have, yet Israel is surpassing them all. Israel is a research and development mecca. Over 300, multinational corporations have opened offices in Israel. 300 multi, he's blessing the entire world through Israel. There's only 199 countries, official countries, but there's over 300 multinational corporations. Israeli tech has attracted $17 billion in startup investments just in 2022, since 2022. $17 billion. Israel has the three highest listings of companies on the NASDAQ, only after China and the United States. How could that be? Since 2022, over 70 Israeli companies have acquired assets in the billions of dollars. President Trump was excited he's bringing $17 billion into the U.S. Israel's already done that. And they're just a tiny little country the size of New Jersey. Okay, Israelis have blessed almost all the nations of the world in all six Nobel Peace Prize categories. All of them. They developed the Iron Dome missile defense system. The United States is talking about putting an Iron Dome over the U.S. Britain's talking about using that technology themselves. Other countries are picking up on what they developed. They developed the Waze real-time for automobile GPS systems that are used by over 140 million people worldwide, and the car backup camera safety systems. They developed them. That Waze is a play on words. W-A-Z is really W-A-Y-S, Waze. What that means is they have integrated this program in your cars, and if anyone has new cars and they put a GPS, turn their GPS on, you can thank Israel for that. And it'll give you real-time traffic, and it'll say to you, 10 miles down the road, there's a slow-moving traffic, but Israel did all that. Someone come up with the idea of the backup system, backup cameras. Israel says, we can make it better. In my Subaru, when I back up, it tilts if I change. And when I get close to hitting something, it puts the brakes on for me. Israel did all that. They designed that. It's being used in over 140 million cars worldwide. Their drip irrigation system has changed the world of agriculture in arid regions around the globe, especially sub-Sahara places. What they did was, this drip irrigation system saves the crops 60% of the water. 60%. Wow. That has made such a difference in places like Ethiopia, who are beginning to adopt that system. Then you know how much famine they've had over the years. Millions of people have died. Now they can conserve 60% of their water. Not only does it conserve the water, but it causes the plants to flourish and grow more because more water is being directly targeted to the root system. They developed that system in Israel. And they pioneered instant messaging capabilities. So if you instant message anybody, you're on your phone and that, you can thank Israel. Tell me that wasn't a worldwide blessing. Sometimes. And An Israeli company developed PillCam. PillCam revolutionized diagnosis of gastrointestinal problems worldwide. It is a camera, a self-sufficient camera inside a capsule that people swallow, and then they can look on their computers and they can see what's going on in the gastrointestinal system. Revolutionized the diagnosis of any type of internal, whether it's your bladder, your stomach, your intestines, it does all that. They developed the USB flash drive. How about that? Replacing the floppy disk. You're watching this because of a USB flash drive. We just plug it into the computer. Thomas uses his genius back there and he throws it up on the screen for us, but Israel developed that. Now, I remember a few years ago, I had a laptop before I have the one I have now, and it crashed. And I'm like, oh, great, I had all this information on there. So I called my IT guy and he said, bring it up, I'll just recover the information. I'm thinking, how are you gonna recover all that information? I don't know how many gigabytes of stuff I had on there, you know. And if you've ever seen a hard drive, it's like this. And I go up to pick it up and he pulls out this itty bitty flash drive. He said, there, that's your whole computer. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, that's 64 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes. And I'm like, on that? I remember when the first flash drive came out, I think it was 10K. And now it's hundreds of thousands of times bigger. Israel developed it. They pioneered the sniff phone. It can diagnose gastric and lung cancer just through breath analysis. They just take this thing and they go, oh, you have cancer, you don't have cancer. You think the world is blessed through that? They developed the exosuit that allows quadriplegics and others with spinal cord injuries to stand, walk, and climb stairs. It's this metal thing that goes down along your legs. It's computerized and it makes you walk, you know? But now people can live more normal lives than they could before him. This is the one that got me. They developed a 3D printer head. It is a bio printer head. I don't know how they did that. I've been trying to read about it, but I'm too stupid. I don't get it. So they developed a 3D printer head that converts fat cells from a human heart into stem cells. I don't know how they did that. But it doesn't surprise me because Israel leads the world in production of 3D printers. What happened to big old Microsoft? What happened to IBM? What happened to Israel? Okay? They have developed solar replacement windows for homes. Now you don't have to put them big gaudy things up on the roof. So whenever you replace your windows, get solar paneled windows that you can see through, but also provide electricity to your home. They created WaterGen. WaterGen is a device that extracts water from the air. So you could be in the middle of the desert, dying of thirst, and WaterGen will just take the water right out of the air. Unbelievable. They developed a hugely successful procedure for bone marrow transplants and medicines for treating, almost curing, multiple sclerosis. They created BabySense. It's a device that prevents sudden infant death syndrome. It can predict when a baby's gonna stop breathing and wake the baby so that it doesn't die. Wow. They created HeartSense. It is wearable tech for early detection of cardiac issues. You can wear it on your body and tell you, yeah, you better get to the hospital. You're going to have a heart attack. I'm not sure I want that in this day and age. Just let me die. So, they're at the forefront of stem cell research that has the potential to cure Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. They are right on the cusp. And from what I've read about this procedure, it's not a matter of whether they're going to be able to do it. It's a matter of when they get the breakthrough. They feel that they're going to be able to do that. You think this would bless the world? So they have also developed agricultural tech drones. I found this really interesting, that have substantially contributed to sustainable farming practices worldwide. This drone, with all its sensors and devices, will fly over a field and say, you know, these plants need lime, and these plants over here need this, and these plants here aren't getting enough water, irrigation, they're not growing to their full height. You know, it can actually detect genetic problems in the seed and in the corn that's in the ground. Wow. They have developed biodegradable plastic. Wow. I was watching Shark Week here. I love to watch Shark Week. They said right now that if some of these strikes where sharks are hitting people on the coast in places where they never hit them before, every single shark they find has microplastics inside of it. Almost every living sea creature, from lobsters to shrimp to scallops, they're finding microplastics. And there is a place out in the ocean miles and miles wide where the plastic just floats. The problem is it doesn't disintegrate, it just breaks into tiny little pieces. And that is detrimental to us, the human race. Because when we eat tuna and we eat mackerel and we eat all the different ocean fish, we are ingesting microplastics. They developed a biodegradable plastic that doesn't biodegrade right away. It's not until you're done with it, you know, and you throw it in the dump and then it just goes into the soil. Incredible. These technologies are only a few. There were 70. I tried to pick out the ones that I thought were really interesting. There are over 70 major innovations and hundreds of minor ones that are used worldwide. Yes, God has made Israel into a great nation. Israel is definitely a blessing to others. And God continues to bless us as a nation because we bless Israel, and he still curses those that curse her. And yes, all the nations of the earth have been blessed through Israel's innovation and technology. Throughout this sermon, there should be little doubt that God is still fulfilling the promises he made to Abraham over 3,500 years ago. Am I God that I should lie? Do I speak and not act? And as believers who are blessed through the lineage of our Jewish Messiah, there is nothing that can stop the rest of God's promises and prophecies from also being fulfilled. And I like to talk about the big one, the rapture, the harpazos. We have not been appointed to suffer wrath. The promises that God made Abraham about Israel, they're all coming true. They're coming true today. He's still doing that 3,500 years later. The prophecies he made to Daniel in chapter 9, most of that came true. The Messiah was born at the right time and everything. The last week of a time of Jacob's trouble, which is called a tribulation, has yet to happen, and it is as sure as happened as God is blessing Israel and the world through Israel as he's doing now. Let's pray. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for just showing us how faithful you are. The Word of God says that you are faithful even when we are faithless. And God, you have shown that, and you have proven that to us over and over again, and you continue to prove that to us in this day, in this age, in our lifetime, as we speak. The blessings that have come upon Israel, that has blessed the world, are beyond anything that anyone could imagine or predict, Lord, except you. You told us it was going to happen. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we trust in you. We put our faith in you. We know that Jesus is the only way, and that those who put their faith in him, who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord, will be saved. Lord, we thank you for that salvation in advance. And we pray all things in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to...